Welcome to the Chrissy Crash Podcast. I'm Chrissy Crash, a former smoker, drinker, fast food eater, unhappy bartender, transformed into a roller derby athlete, runner, and fitness coach. Each week, I'll bring you an insightful guest or lesson learned from my own perfectly imperfect life to help you uncover how to create more love, light, joy, and health in your everyday experience despite the chaos and challenges. I believe that life is a contact sport. Let the games begin.
Do you want to elevate your game on the track in 12 weeks or less, guaranteed? Yeah, I said it. If I could help you get fitter, faster, stronger, and more confident on the track while having more joy, self-confidence, and love in your life outside the track in just 12 weeks guaranteed, would you be interested? Well, click the link in the show notes to learn more.
So what's up, everybody? Chrissy Crash here with Violet Beerley. So excited to chat with you, my dear. Very, very just excited. It's been so cool watching you grow as a skater, taking risks. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that journey, like how you found derby, this growth process, and just really recognize you for the work that you've been doing. So why don't we just start? Can we just start at the beginning? Like, tell us a little bit about like your journey to finding roller derby. How did you end up here in this crazy world?
Well, like so many people, whip it, right? Which I didn't even know. I didn't even know until just like right before I started this program that you were even involved in that. That was so cool. Yeah, I saw Whip It years ago and I was like, that's so cool. I want to do that. Back then, so I'm a trans woman, and back then I was not identifying as female, and there was no option for me besides reffing to get involved with roller derby. And I hated reffing. It was the closest I could get. So someone that I knew somebody that was in a league here, like a small little rec league, and so they got me involved and got me as a ref, but I hated it and I was terrible at it. I don't like shouting at people. I don't like telling people they did something wrong. And, you know, yeah. I was always like, I would be like, oh, forearm. And if they gave me a mean look, I would be like, I'm just kidding. No, you're fine.
I take it back.
I was a terrible ref. So I did that maybe half a season or something like that. But I had a friend at the time, my high school friend, he was married, and they came to watch one of the games that I was reffing, and his wife fell in love with it. And so then she joined as I was leaving. I was like, well, I'm out. But she joined and she was having a lot of fun. This was like, what, that movie came out in like 2010?
2010.
Yeah. So this 14 was
14 years ago.
Yeah. And fast forward to the end of 2021. And I reached out, that friend's wife that had joined was still playing. And now she was one of the leaders of the league. The league had grown. It was huge. And she was like one of the elders, I call her. And I reached out and I was like, do you, and I had transitioned at this point, and I was like, I think it would be cool to get involved in roller derby. I was like, do you think I could come check it out? And she was like, oh my God, yes, you have to come. And I was like, will I be accepted? She's like, yes, you will be accepted. And so I went to like the recruitment night and was just like, this seems cool. And I thought it would be like a fun sort of trivia piece of trivia about myself that I could tell people, like, oh yeah, you know, I do roller derby, like the way you would tell somebody, oh, I collect old books or something like that. I didn't realize it was going to become my entire personality and like take over my entire life and change my life completely. I am not the same person I was when I started. So I started playing. I played my first game in January of 23, and in July I joined, so that's a USARS league, and in July I joined the WIFTA league here in town. So now I play in two leagues. And I was playing on three different teams for the one league, and I'm on the home team and the travel team for the WIFTA league. I'm doing so much derby. It's fantastic.
That's amazing. What do you think if you had like a biggest lesson you learned from joining roller derby?
Oh, it's got to be that like, this sounds so cheesy, but I'm capable of so much more than I thought that I was. It's taught me so much. I try to recruit everybody into roller derby. Like, that's what we do. I'm a roller derby girl. Of course, I'm going to try to get you to join roller derby. And I tell them, like, it gives you community. It gives you a sense of purpose and direction, but it also just teaches you grit and resilience and determination and all these things that I didn't have before. I didn't feel like I had before. This feeling of digging deep. Like, I can do this, you know. Oh, I'm tired, but I can push through. I have a tattoo now that says one more jam. because it's like a reminder to myself that just one more, push through, you can do this. So
it's so true. And I just think, God, sports in general, I mean, we live in such a comfortable world. I feel like it's so easy to avoid challenges and like hide from things. And I think it's such a brave thing to go out and do something hard and put your body into this physical situation where people are trying to beat you up. You know?
Yeah. But we pay for this. We pay to play this game. We're getting beaten up. I mean, we just, knock on wood, we just had somebody at a scrimmage last night break a bone. Oh. And I'm like, we are paying for this opportunity to possibly have our bones broken. It's scary and thrilling and empowering.
Yeah, that's so cool. And so what was your decision to come to Crash Course? Like, what were you looking for when you reached out?
More like accountability, really. Mm-hmm. When I started boot camp last year, or the end of 2022, everybody was like, you are going to be a great jammer. Because I'm like 6 feet tall, I have long legs. And I was like, wait, there's a job in this game where you get a star on your head and everybody looks at you and you're the one scoring all the points. I was like, okay. But then also, that sounds scary. Yeah. And I got really excited about it. And everybody was like, you're going to be a great jammer. And the first game, they put me in as a jammer, my first game ever. And I felt like I was going to die. And then the second game, I didn't get played very much. As I went on, I was like, okay, if I'm really going to be a jammer, I need to work. I can't just get by on my long legs. I have to have some skill, and I have to be working out off skates, and I have to be thinking about my diet and all this kind of stuff. And it's just really overwhelming. I remember I was with my girlfriend and we were down in Waco at a scrimmage or a game down there that we went to play in. And I was just like, I want to get better. And I was like, I wish there was like a trainer that was specific for Derby. And then I was like, wait a minute, Chrissy Crash, I know this person. I know that they exist. Because I had looked into your course before sometime last year, like shortly after I'd started. And I just, you know, you do something when you're ready for it. And I just actually wasn't really ready for it back then. And now I was really ready. And I was like, I don't care. I will devote my time to this, my money, my efforts, my energy. Like, this is worth it.
It's been really incredible. You had a big milestone. Was that last week or the week before?
Oh, that was the week before, maybe the week before that.
2 weeks, maybe the week before that. Tell us a little bit about your great Apex milestone. Because I know this for you coming in, this was a goal for you coming in, was really to work on Apex jumps.
Yeah. Again, with the long legs and stuff, I should be doing Apex jumps. And it was, hello. It was a goal of mine for sure. I had tried it in my early scrimmages with the WIFTA League, like before I even joined. I just like came and crashed a scrimmage. And was wild and took a leap, and you know, it was fun, but I didn't land it very well and I didn't know what I was doing. And so, and then once I started really playing for real with WIFTA, then I got too scared. And then I was like, okay, now the stakes are high. I wouldn't commit to it. Anyway, yeah, I just, that night we were scrimmaging and I saw my opportunity and I was just like, I'm gonna do this. And I did it, and I could have landed it better, but I landed it in bounds. Legally, you know, I was still able to call the jam off and everything. And it was so much fun. And now everybody's like, when are we going to see another one? Do it again.
Yeah. The first one's the hardest one, right? Now you know what you got to do.
Yeah. It's the hardest, but it's also like, okay, I did that. That wasn't so bad. And it's got me thinking now about, like, you have to commit to it when you're coming up on that apex. You have to know that you're going to do it. And you have to assess where you're at on the track. You have to assess who's going to be waiting for you when you land. If that pack is moving and you jump, they're going to be there when you land. If the pack is stopped, but your opponents are in front, they're going to be waiting for you when you land or whatever. You know, you've got to be able to assess really quickly and just make that leap. And it's not that big of a leap. It doesn't take that much height to get past that little apex. So anyway.
Especially when we're 6 feet tall and we have really long legs. It's not that far. It's a good thing. What else did you find results-wise? What other outcomes did you have since starting Crash Course? Do you have any big like aha moments? Any big shifts that you've seen?
No, I will say big shifts, yeah. It hasn't been an aha as much as a looking back now. I'm on week 8. I think this is week 8 for me. And looking back and going, oh, wow, things have changed. I have the biggest thing for me, the two biggest things for me are my diet. The way I eat, the way I think about food, the way I shop has really shifted. And that was a huge goal for me. Like, that's really what I wanted out of this in a big way, was learning to think about my food like an athlete without being obsessive about it, without counting every macro and stuff like that, but just having those rules of thumb in my head where I could be like, oh, eat this, not that, that classic, mm-hmm. you know, and that has really happened. My body doesn't crave the things that it did before. I don't want to just devour an entire pizza. I come home from work and I'm like, man, I could really go for a big salad right now and stuff like that. And it's great. And then one thing that is, and this has really been recent, is realizing that I'm able to dig deeper now and not just in derby related stuff, but in my work life, in my personal life. Like, I'm more capable. I recognize my capabilities now, and I'm like, I can do this. Sure, it's a hard thing or whatever, but I got this. I don't know how to explain it exactly. It's my confidence, I guess, is really boosted, which is probably why I did that apex jump also.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's an internal dialogue thing? Is it like the way that you talk to yourself and your brain has shifted? Have you noticed, is that the difference? Is that part of it?
There was some of that for sure. And now it's gotten to the point where it happens automatically. I have a job where I have to be on the phone a lot of times with people, and nobody likes making phone calls. Nobody likes calling anybody because nobody likes getting phone calls. And I don't want to be the person that is on the other end of that, you know? And so I used to really dread having to call somebody, and I would put it off, and I would have to like talk myself up and stuff. And now I'll be making the phone call before I even realize it. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm fine. I got this. And my productivity at work has really improved. I was just getting accolades from my boss yesterday talking about how happy he is with my performance and really showing up. And I have to credit it to this. Honestly, I really do. It's a mindset, just like you always talk about.
It has so much meaning. I know you mentioned like your morning routines even shifted a little bit. What shifted? What are you doing differently in the morning that's like setting up your day better?
I think the biggest thing to shift in my morning routine is my breakfast. And that's just a huge thing. I don't have to think every morning about what I'm going to have for breakfast, because I have the same thing every single morning. I found a little breakfast sandwich thingy that's got my protein, my fat. Sometimes I'll throw some veg in there. And I have my little, I started using the Ezekiel bread. That's so good. Mm-hmm. I love that stuff.
So good.
Yeah. So I will wake up. Usually I'll throw back a Red Bull. I have to have a Red Bull to get myself out of bed in the morning. Sugar-free Red Bull. But, you know, that incentivizes me to actually get my feet on the floor. And then I flip on the oven, because I don't have a toaster. I flip on the oven, and then I go about my morning, brush my teeth, do all that stuff, and then throw the Ezekiel bread in the oven, fry up an egg. Like, I just have this routine, and then wrap it up in a paper towel, hit the road. And it just feels so good to start my day without having to like make big decisions. Because when I'm left to figure it out in the moment, I always am going to go with the sausage biscuit or something that's really going to weigh me down and make me sleepy.
Yeah. So. Well, and there's something to be said about taking away decisions, right? Like, if we are trying to constantly make these little kind of meaningless decisions throughout the day, by the end of the day, we get that decision fatigue. We've used up all our decision-making power on the little things instead of the big things. So that autopilot.
There was a book I read a while back called The Paradox of Choice that really made a big impact on me. You know that book?
Such a great book. Yes.
Yeah. It was like, I read it. I was like, they should be teaching this in school, I feel like, because it really does talk about how we have so many choices now that it's just like, it's bad for us. We don't need to be making this many decisions throughout the day.
No. It's one of the things I love about living in Costa Rica is when you go to the grocery store and you have to buy deodorant, there's two deodorants on the shelf. There's not like 75, but there's like two. Do you want the pink one or the teal one? And you're like, great.
You know, I lived in China for about 3 years, and it was the same thing. You were lucky if you found more than one option of something that, you know, usually it was like, yeah, it's the same. It's the same thing. It was so
nice. Great. Life is better on that side for sure. Now, how has it been with getting coached, like having the coaching and the support, the group calls, working with Coach Sin? How's that been?
Awesome. That's really nice. At first I was worried that having only a weekly group call and then only getting to talk to Sin one-on-one every 4 weeks, I was like, that's not going to be enough. Mm-hmm. But she's very available through text or through the app. I feel very supported. She's absolutely amazing. And the group calls are really great. Getting to know everybody, getting to know everybody's backstories. And like, I love showing up to those groups, even if I don't feel like I need support that day or whatever, I just like showing up. And then I give props to people who do need it, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the cool thing about the group and the community is it's like a mosh pit, right? It's like sometimes you're leaning on someone else and sometimes they're leaning on you and you just kind of like all hold each other up, you know? Yeah. So it's like you get the support when you need it and you give the support when you can give it and then everybody stays standing up.
Yeah. And it's great because it's like, we're there to support each other for a lot of different reasons, but we all have this one common passion of roller derby. And so you have that common language that you can use. You know that you're all like dealing with a lot of the same things, the same struggles, the same triumphs, the same goals and stuff like that. So it's great. I love it.
Yeah. And I know that you had mentioned when you sent me in some info that you have not been yet using. I'm just going to get on with this. You said you haven't been using your feedback on game footage or your skill reviews or anything. So this is me poking you and reminding you, make sure that you send that stuff in so we get up.
Yeah. The Apex Jump video was the first time I ever sent anything in. Yeah, I could use that for sure.
Awesome. So just to kind of wrap things up, if someone's listening to this and they've been kind of watching my stuff on the internet and maybe popped in on the website, I don't know, what is this? Is this for me? Is this not for me? Like, what would you say to someone that's kind of thinking about maybe they want to work with Crash Course, but they're not sure?
If you want to take your derby career seriously, I do see it as a career, even though I'm the one paying for it. It's almost like a vocation. If you really want to take it seriously and make it worthwhile, sign up. It's going to be worth it. And even beyond derby, like I said, it's impacted every other aspect of my life as well, professionally and personally and stuff. It is going to be worth it for sure. If you are ready, if you're ready for it. If you don't think you're ready, maybe you're not ready. Like I wasn't, you know, that very first time. But if you feel like you're ready and you're just a little bit scared, that's okay. Take the plunge. Do it.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I'm so proud of you. You know, this is just the beginning. And we've still got another chunk of weeks left to go. And then from there and beyond. And I'm just so proud of you, Riley. It's been so cool just seeing your commitment level coming in. And then just watching you lean into it, it's just such a testament to what happens when you just jump in with 2 feet. So I'm super proud of you. And so thank you
very much. I'm really happy.
And thank you for and thank you for being willing to share. Thank you, everybody who's listening. If you guys have any questions, you can feel free to hunt me down on Facebook or Instagram. And if you haven't seen it yet, go check out Violet's awesome Apex Jump. It's on my page. Who knows when you watch this? We posted it in January, end of January, beginning of February. So if you need to scroll back to find it, that's where it is. Yeah, and I'm just so excited to see you crush the rest of this season and beyond. And thank you everybody for taking the time to listen here at Crash Course. We believe that life is a contact sport. And she who touches the most lives win. So thank you, Violet, for taking this time today to just share what you've learned and share it with everyone out there in the world. And it's just pleasure. The beginning.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right, guys, we'll see you later.